Should we just all go, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm? Good morning. It is good to see you, and it's good to see all who braved the cold. This is Minnesota, and it just is invigorating, right? Last Sunday, we had a little invigoration. Bonnie and I, as Pastor Chris was preaching here, Bonnie and I were able to visit our daughter church, Lakeside Covenant, and down in Chanhassen for the first time, which was awesome. And the moment we walked into Bluff Creek Elementary, we flashed back to the church planting experience that we had in Kansas City a number of years ago. And the same kind of excitement, the same kind of vibe of God doing something new. And of course, we probably still know 85% of the people there. Is that me? Oh, I bet it's this thing. Hold on a second. We probably knew about 85% of the people at Lakeside. And yet when I walked in there, I felt like I was being greeted like a long-lost brother. Okay, I don't want to... Okay, if I don't move much, it won't crackle. It's actually my arthritis. No, just kidding. No, it's not that bad. But I felt like I was being greeted like a long-lost brother, and I got hugs from people I knew whom had never given me hugs before. It was wonderful. It was such a joy to witness what God is doing. Something so beautiful here on the South Lake region, and knowing we have a partnership with Lakeside to share the good news of Jesus with our neighbors. And so that was wonderful. And now to be thinking about Tuesday evening over at Jake O'Connor's. We've got Alpha running here on Sunday mornings, but Tuesday night at 6:30, it will be starting over in the lower level of Jake's. And we're inviting a number of people. And I want to encourage you, if you have any idea that this might be for you or a family or friend who has questions about faith, maybe needs to just go back to the grounding of your faith, exploring the meaning of life and our purpose here, I hope you will at least check it out one time or invite a friend to come along on Tuesday or one of these upcoming Tuesdays. There's more information in the bulletin and on the website about that, and I'm going to trust you for that. And now, today, it's a communion Sunday like we do once a month here in our church when we invite everyone to participate, even if you don't feel like you totally get it, like you really understand faith or the meaning of life and all that very well. But if you want to know Jesus as your Savior and as the Lord of your life, you are invited to share in communion later on in the service. This is a very special place of belonging here at the table where we remember every time that Jesus came to love us, to teach us, and to heal us, and ultimately to give his life on the cross to save us from our sins. That's what he did. But before we go there, we need to talk about one of the most important aspects of Jesus' ministry that we often overlook. It makes up about 25% of the gospel stories. 25% of the story of Jesus has to do with his ministry of healing. But first, can I take you back about 15 years or so? We were living in Kansas City. We were down in the basement family room watching a movie with our kids. And I think we'd had, I don't know, it was a pizza or something. We moved on to dessert. And we were eating the dessert when all of a sudden I didn't feel so good. Something deep in my gut was not right, and I immediately thought it was something I ate. So I left them, I went upstairs and curled up on the living room floor for a while. You know how you try to get comfortable and not know how to get this thing solved? What's going on? Is it food poisoning? What's going on here? And it just got worse. It kept getting worse. And Bonnie eventually said, "We're going to the hospital," and I did not argue. But it was the most miserable car ride of my life. We got there fast. And when we got there, I literally crawled into the emergency room. And Bonnie, who is a nurse by training, went in there and convinced the people at the desk that he will be seen immediately. And I was. Thank you very much. What I remember over the next couple of hours was excruciating pain like I've never experienced before. And being a Lamaze instructor, she said, breathe. And I tried. I remember crying out to God in prayer, crying out for mercy. And I remember Bonnie's presence being a tremendous comfort through those hours. I remember the morphine, all three doses. And I remember getting sick on the morphine. And I remember going for a CT scan, all kind of in a daze. And then, somewhere in the middle of the night, Doogie Howser stood at the foot of my bed and said, we're going to open you up and solve this problem as soon as possible. At that point, and for the first time in my life, I thought that to die would have been the easier way out, that it would have been a welcome relief. And so when he said abdominal surgery, I was like, and I had feared abdominal surgery forever as a child and growing up. At that point, I was like, whatever, get me in there fast. What had happened was that for some reason, part of my intestine had decided to flip over on itself, something that's known as a volvulus. It's known as an colic, abdominal colic in a horse. And they often shoot the horse. And for long generations past, if a person had a volvulus, if it didn't correct on its own, somehow the person would suffer and die, which I obviously didn't do. So whether it was by prayer or by natural cause or the surgeon's knife, whatever, my intestine unflipped on its own when he opened me up. I mean, he did the incision, and when he got in there, it's fixed. And when I woke up, I had an incision and, you know, the pain from that. But other than that, the excruciating pain was gone. I was healed. How did that happen? What was it explainable by the surgeon and just natural cause? Or was it a miracle? Or was it both? As I look back on that, I kind of say, I think it was both. And when we look at the ministry of Jesus, the healing ministry of Jesus, and think intently about what he was doing, he was preaching, teaching, proclaiming the arrival of God's kingdom, but the most powerful and wonderful miraculous sign of his power was what happened when he healed people of diseases and all number of things. And as the incarnated Son of God, the incarnate Son of God, he was definitely following in his Father's footsteps. We look all the way back to the time of Moses, 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus, when we first came to know God as actively desiring to bring wholeness to broken people. In Exodus 15:26, God says, I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. And now we've got Jesus doing the same thing. In Matthew 4 and other places, we see that healing people was central to the work that he came to do. In verses 23 and 24 of Matthew 4, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. There's that part. We're familiar with that, right? And proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And Jesus healed them. Now, if you've spent any amount of time around the Bible and the New Testament, the gospel stories, you've heard the stories, and there are so many. The man born blind and another one named Bartimaeus, both given their sight by Jesus. The 10 lepers who came and pleaded with Jesus to heal them, and they were instantly cured of their disease, but only one of them came back to say thank you. Remember that one? A paralytic at Bethesda, who could never get down into the healing waters of the pool quick enough, and so he was never healed, but Jesus healed him. The woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who when she just touched the hem, the very edge of his robe, she was instantly healed. The Gadarene demoniac, Mary Magdalene, and a boy who kept throwing himself into a fire, all of them freed from the oppression of internal demons, healed by Jesus. There was the centurion's servant, remember, who actually was healed in absentia. Jesus just said the word and he was healed far away. And then there was Jairus' daughter, who was raised from the dead, and Lazarus. There, the list goes on and on and on, and I'll guarantee you far more than is even written in the Bible. This was not a sideshow. This was part of the main event, the healing ministry of Jesus, both to validate the power of God in his ministry, but also to foreshadow what would happen when the kingdom of God becomes fully realized when Christ comes at the end of time. In Revelation 21, verse 4, you know, can we just go to this mic altogether? Let's not bother with this one.
I know God could heal it, but we're not going to ask him to do that right now.
In Revelation 21, verse 4, there is a beautiful picture of what God has in store for us. And the Revelation says this.
What in the world?
Oh, Lord. The Revelation says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. You see, what he's saying here is the day is coming when all will be healed. And isn't that something incredible to look forward to? While for now, that old order of things has not yet passed away. There is the old order with which we still live. It's still with us. People suffer. And people die. And we mourn and we cry, appropriately so. That's the way life is for us now. But even still, we're not without hope. We are not without hope. Life is not without promise. Because Jesus' ministry of healing did not just stop when he was resurrected and ascended. The ministry of healing continues through the life and ministry of his church, through his people, through us. If you turn in your Bible or your Bible app to James 5 in the New Testament, James 5, we're going to look at just a few verses there. This letter, we think there were several Jameses in the New Testament. We think this was probably the brother of Jesus, actually, who after the resurrection stepped into that inner circle of the leadership of the early church. And he wrote these words to encourage people, to encourage the believers. I would say to encourage us as well. And he says this, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." See, when it comes to healing, the first thing I think we need to realize is that it really does matter to God. He is concerned about such things. And opening our eyes so that we might actually see the miraculous is also a very big deal. Because I'll tell you what, I don't think most of the time we have our eyes open. Do we? I think there are miracles going around and we just don't see them. We don't credit God for what we ought to credit God. Albert Einstein, of all people, not one of my favorite theologians exactly, But he got some things pretty right, and he said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. You know what the other one is? The other is as though everything is a miracle. Now we're not going to take that out to its, you know, ultimate here, but I think that's pretty close to what we need to hold on to here. We translate it to say, if we aren't open to being amazed by God, we're not going to experience the wonder of healings, of the miraculous, either by the explicability of medicine or the inexplicability of the divine miraculous touch of God. We won't see either as miraculous. You know, healing through medical procedures is inspiring and amazing, and we need to see it for the miracle that it is. And if you have been called into the medical profession, that is a very noble and spiritual cause to share in the healing ministry of Jesus. But we are all invited to bring our heart's cry to a caring and listening God and to plead for miraculous healing that is beyond the realm of science. We're encouraged to do that by Scripture. Now, you probably know what I'm going to say next, so hold on. When we pray, God's definition of healing and wholeness may not always match up to our definition. You knew I was going to say that, right? When we pray for healing, sometimes people are healed as we think they should be, could be, and sometimes they're not. At least not in the way that we expect or desire. And people die. But that doesn't mean for a moment that God didn't hear your prayer. He heard. But we're encouraged as we pray to pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord, asking God to show himself, to reveal himself in the process, and so our hearts will be open to see him and his purposes more clearly. And I think we should always pray with the perspective of heaven. We should always pray with the perspective of heaven. The problem is, and we say this from time to time, we realize in our culture, it seems like everything has to happen in this life. All the fullness, all the joy, all the experiences, everything has got to happen before we die. Most people in this world do not live with the perspective of heaven, and that this is just a shadow of what is really in store for us. And so when we pray, and this is no rationalization, this is absolute truth. When we pray, we should pray with the understanding that our ultimate healing will be the release from these frail bodies that get sick and broken. Anybody got a frail body in here? You're feeling it all the more the older you get, don't you? This week, two of our sisters here at Excelsior, Bonnie Abramson and Bea Strand, both experienced that final healing. They are now fully whole and healed in the presence of God. And we live for that promise. We hold that right here. But right here, we also hold the reality that Jesus calls us to be people who bring healing into the world around us, to be always ready to pray for those who are sick, and to pray boldly, not to shy away, oh God, I'm not sure you really want to do this, but could you maybe possibly heal? No, he encourages us to pray boldly. For those who are sick, to hold them before God and shamelessly ask for his power to be revealed in their lives. Because when they are healed, whether it be by medicine or by miraculous touch, we will praise God for that. Always so that people might experience God's power at work And as I said, he invites us to participate in the healing process, wiping away the tears of those who grieve. That's part of the healing ministry of Jesus. Wiping away the tears, lifting up those who have fallen down, and giving them hope for us to also be the ones who step into the messiness of relationships in families, in friendships, in communities, and be people who bring healing and hope. During communion today, if your heart is crying out to God for healing in your life or in the life of someone you love, there will be an opportunity. We always have people to pray up front here after the services, but this morning, Lindsay and I will be at opposite ends of the at the front here, and after you have received communion, or before if you wish, we'll be there just to simply, as a brother and a sister in Christ, if you want to tell us what it is that we can pray for. And then together in the name of Jesus, we will pray for you. Because sometimes, you know, we pray it ourselves a lot. We ask God these things, but sometimes there's tremendous power in allowing a brother or sister to pray with you. And so we will do that this morning. And look for God's power to come over us by his Holy Spirit and to heal our spirits and to heal bodies so that we might give him the honor and the praise because he loves us so dearly. We're invited to pray in Jesus' name. Will you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, you are the great physician. You are the healer of our bodies and of our souls. We know ultimately which is the most important, but we also look to you to bring relief to suffering, to fill lonely and grieving places with your presence, to heal our hearts. And God, this morning there are some here who are suffering physically and emotionally. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be very present to us as we sing now and then as we come for communion and for prayers of healing, that you might be glorified in this meeting as we look to you, our Savior. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.